hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Debbie. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I can't tell you how thoroughly I enjoyed this film. I loved it. Every second from beginning to end. It is so creative in the way you are telling this story, Larry's story. The pen and ink animation is stupendous. And I love how the colors of the animation intensify as Larry goes through the decades of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to wonder how many Pantone colors were actually used in the animation.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know about that.
But the entire structure is fantastic. And to be perfectly honest, I cannot see any other way you could have done this, because Larry, I am sure, his personality is so strong and comes across so clearly, he would not have relinquished any control to anyone else but for him to tell his own story. So talk to me, gentlemen, talk to me about how this story came to both of you, how it came to you, Patrick, how you got involved, Sean, just because I'm in love with this.
Thank you, Debbie. That's really nice to hear. I'm really happy you enjoyed it. A mutual friend of mine introduced me to Larry. He said, "I have a bad idea for you." I said, "Okay, I love bad ideas. What is it?" He goes, "There's a guy in Palm Beach, Florida, named Larry Herbert. He's 95 years old. He's an inventor, and he's ready to tell his life story." And immediately, I was intrigued before I even knew that it was about Pantone. To me, that kind of person at this moment in their life is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I want to meet that person. And of course, right away, I learned that it was about Pantone, which I first discovered when I was in film school years ago. And then my mind kind of exploded, because from the moment I saw my first Pantone book in the early 1990s, I just was curious. Curious might be an understatement. I recognized immediately that this book with colors in it was extremely, there was a lot of, it was a very high-tech book, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's just ink on paper, but this language that he created, the numbering system, the precision that is involved in Pantone, was really, really, really interesting to me. And this was decades before I ever met Larry. So next thing you know, I'm in Palm Beach, Florida, meeting with him. And about 5 minutes after I met him, I knew I wanted to do this. I knew I wanted to be a part of the story and to tell his story. This story is exactly the right combination of a really interesting and funny character in Larry,
mm-hmm.
and a world that he created that makes you look at it and think, how did he do that? Why did he do that? You know, Larry lives in a very nice part of Palm Beach, Florida, I can tell you. He lives in a really, really beautiful home, and he's been very successful by any metric. So you look at this really unique, singular invention of the Pantone matching system, and you meet this 95-year-old guy who's got way more energy than I do. He's sharp as a tack. That just, you could just tell right away, this is going to be fantastic. Like, there's a great story here. And it's a great story for people who work with Pantone every single day. And it's a great story for people who have never heard of Pantone. And for me, that's exactly the kind of story I really like to tell. So it was just a real treat for me.
I mean, it just amazes me. And it's not just a story about for people in Pantone or who understand Pantone, this is the American dream being completely fulfilled. And it's something that in today's climate is being stomped on so heavily that this is very inspirational, I think, for people, especially because Larry is sharp as a tack. His memory is amazing. Yeah. His early recollections about his childhood. And you see how he became the man he became. Listening to him, you can hear in his voice what's important, what's not important, and how that helped shape him. When he talks about his father being a projectionist, well, right there, that's where movies come into play for him, and the escapism and the imagination. It's not a far leap for what he was learning in school and learning in print shop, then learning how to do the linoleum carvings, which is, for anybody that has never done them, I've done them because in school, I took classes for that. And it's not as easy as people think, especially when you want to do multicolors.
Exactly.
Even in the 70s, it was not that easy to do. So I'm watching this with intense fascination and hearing Larry's voice. And I'm picking up what truly impacts him. And you capture that so vividly and bring so much of the past to life with the animation. Just outstanding. And was it,
thank you.
After you met with Larry, was it always your intention to have Larry essentially narrate his documentary?
Yeah, you know, we never really know what we're doing when we start. And every time we make a new movie, it's like I don't know what I'm doing. And because I don't, you know, I want to try to tell the story in a way that is a good fit for our subject. But Larry has such a unique energy. He's so fun to talk to. He is so quick-witted. He's funny. He remembers everything.
Clearly.
I don't want this to sound, I think Larry knows that his story is really unique.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been wanting to really sit down and tell it in this way, in the form of a movie. I mean, you mentioned the projection booth. I mean, movies were very important to Larry. A lot of people have written things about him, and he actually wrote a book a few years ago. And so he's been kind of toying with this idea of telling his story. But the thought of making a movie and spending a year and a half doing it and bringing out a big team of folks to do it was something that it was appealing to him and it was appealing to me. It's exactly the kind of story we love to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a great time doing it. I will say, I mean, the really great thing about working with Sean on this, and Sean and there were a couple other folks that we interviewed for the film, but seeing Larry and seeing Pantone through their eyes was very, very rewarding for me. I'm the first to admit, I am not a color expert, and I'm not someone who is fascinated by color the way a lot of, like, Sean and other folks are. I'm a storyteller, you know, and I like to tell all different kinds of stories. But to hear people like Sean talk about color and talk about color communication really took Larry and his story to a whole different level.
Mm-hmm. Now,
thank you,
Sean. You're there. I have you too.
I'm here.
So chime in here on your involvement in this film, because your insight and your enthusiasm for anybody that really doesn't understand Pantone and the importance of color in the development, you really convey that and its importance and effect on our daily lives, really. So I'm curious how you came into the picture here and worked with Patrick to add even more vibrancy and life to this project.
Well, I mean, I've written a few books about color, and you know, it's something that I'm passionate about, obviously. And one of my goals with either the books I've written or the courses that I've taught online has always been to try to sort of bring color to the masses. Like, how do I make it more accessible? How do I make it something people should be more excited about? Because it's a really exciting subject. And so when Patrick contacted me, I thought this is an amazing vehicle to actually, like, get the idea of color out there, even if people just think about it for a second. Mm. You know, and it's sort of like when you learn how to draw, it's not about learning how to draw. That's not the goal. The goal is to teach you how to see. And mm-hmm. so it's sort of the same thing with this film is that, yes, afterwards, no one's going to be a great printer from watching it, but they're going to see, you know, then they're going to look at it. And they're going to say, wow, there is a difference between this light yellow and this dark yellow. I can recognize these things. And how do they make me feel? What is my response? Like, I think that's an exciting thing to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. So that was the thrilling part. Plus the fact that, strangely, coincidentally, I'd done a speaking engagement about mid-century branding, and Pantone and Larry was one of the subject matters that we were discussing. And so it was kind of perfect timing. And the interesting comparison there is the subject matter was Pantone and Holiday Inn. Those were the two brand studies that we were looking at. Mm. And, you know, Kenneth Wilson, who founded Holiday Inn, worked as a projectionist or in a movie theater when he was a teenager also. That's how the big Holiday Inn sign came about, that had a giant marquee that listed, "Welcome, Mr. So-and-so." So I love that kind of merger of two things. And Holiday Inn would have never worked if that green and yellow had not been the same everywhere you went.
That's right.
And that's where Pantone came in.
That's amazing.
That was the combination.
Wow. Wow. See, and this is why you were such a great addition to this documentary, Sean.
Lots of useless information. I'm good at dinner parties, too.
Oh, we need to get you on Jeopardy, and we'll all make side bets on you. At what point, Patrick, did you, because obviously Larry has archival photos, archival footage, then you pull, I love that you kick us off with Fred and Ginger as a film opening. And, of course, Errol Flynn, Charge of the Light Brigade, because that's Larry's that was his first film that he saw. But I love how we start in a black and white world, and you take us all the way through to the vibrancy. I mean, the larger his life gets, and the more pots that he has, hit paint pots he has his fingers in, the more colorful the film gets as well. A big part of this are the beautiful pen and ink drawings. At what point did you decide to incorporate those drawings and the progression, the color progression of them? Because initially, it's essentially black, white, and gray, just like the early movies. And then slowly, more color gets introduced in Larry's life. So I'm curious your perspective and what was your decision in bringing in the animation, the drawings?
Well, no, I think that's really perceptive what you said. I mean, Larry lived in much more of a black and white world when he was born.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in 1929, and newspapers were in black and white. TV wasn't really around yet. Movies were mostly in black and white at that time. Color kind of came around a little bit later, much later. I think around the end of World War II, I believe. But in a way, like, you know, it's funny, movies are such a wonderful metaphor for Larry's life, because he was a really poor Jewish kid who grew up in Brooklyn, and he needed heroes. I mean, he had his parents, who he was very close with, but he really was a young kid looking for heroes and looking mm-hmm. for role models, and he saw them up on the big screen. And because his dad was a projectionist, Larry spent hours and hours and hours in a projection booth watching how those images ended up being projected onto a screen. Mm-hmm. Larry was fascinated by projectors and large reels of film. You know, Larry's a gear guy.
Yeah.
He wants to know, like, how does that thing work? how does this big machine that's really loud, it's really hot, how is it that this thing in this room makes those images and tells these stories in that other room where all the people are? He was very lucky to have a dad who was not only a projectionist, but he was a craftsman. He was good with his hands. So Larry was, in a way, like, Larry was dealt a very good hand as a kid. Even though he had challenges as a kid, they were very poor. I mean, they really struggled, especially during the Great Depression. I mean, he has really poignant memories of growing up and how difficult that was, especially for his dad, because his dad was taken advantage of a lot by customers of his who wouldn't pay him what they owed him. And it was very difficult. It was humiliating. And to see your father be treated that way was really, really poignant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Larry decided at a very early age, no one's going to do that to me when I get older. I have to figure out how to not be taken advantage of, frankly. So all these things were happening to him as a kid. And then he has the crazy good fortune in sixth grade to be introduced to a printing press and to understand how those things worked. He was really good at it. He loved machinery. He had a real creative flair. He loved making things with his hands. He loved color. And, you know, it's like all of these kind of random occurrences were planted in him as a young kid. So in a way, it's like, it's no wonder that he created what he created.
Yeah.
In fact, he's maybe the only person who could do that. He was the only person who had all those tools when color really came onto the scene in the 1950s. And there was the color and color printing was the wild, wild west. It was literally, we used to refer to it as like, it was like the Tower of Babel. Nobody was speaking the same language as anybody else. And Larry said, you know what this industry needs is it needs a language. I'm going to create that language. And that's what he did. Now that to me is, if you happen to be someone like Sean, or you happen to work in advertising or design or printing or you name it, any number of industries, that story is going to be interesting to that group of folks. However, I actually think this story is even more interesting to people who have never heard of Pantone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what it is, because they've been affected by Pantone and they live in a Pantone world. They just don't know it. That's the piece of this story that I'm really excited about, frankly. You know, we always, my team and I, we always knew that there's really two audiences for this story. There are the people who know Pantone and there are the people who don't know Pantone. And if we do our jobs right, both of those groups are going to connect with Larry and connect with his story. And that's kind of the excitement of a movie about to come out, is you're about to find out if you were actually able to pull that off.
And that this is where your structure is so important, because you have touchstones in there for older audiences. You have touchstones for newer audience. The clip from Devil Wears Prada about the cerulean blue. Everybody knows that scene. It's going to connect
right
with people when they see it here. The pen and ink animation that comes in, it really captures the craftsman nature, the artistic nature of Larry.
Mm-hmm.
But a big part of this, I have to ask about, is your score. Alex Mansour's mm-hmm. score. The music is so wonderful. The instrumentation, mm-hmm. it is lively. It is whimsical at points. What were you looking for musically to complement your imagery, your story?
Well, Alex Mansour is a mad genius. He's a young man. I think he's still in his 20s. Not that that matters. But he's been writing music and performing music for most of his life. Alex comes on very early. He gets to know Larry as we're getting to know Larry. And then he just has an ability to kind of find the pulse of this character in the story, which he really did a beautiful job. I'm glad you mentioned that, because Alex Mansour is really someone to watch. He is mm-hmm. a very gifted musician and a very gifted composer. And I think he takes this story to a whole different level.
I absolutely agree. And the musical motifs that he has created, and we hear them repeated at various points in the film, if we're talking with Larry's family or about the family. And then there's a motif that's for Elsie. And
right.
I love how Alex has integrated all of this. And then the instrumentation that comes into play. As I said, there's a whimsy to it. That you'll associate whimsy with color quite often.
No doubt.
So
no doubt, yeah.
Now, I know before they just totally disconnect us, I have to ask both of you, yesterday, the big announcement that I wait for every year, the Pantone Color of the Year for 2026, Cloud Dancer. What do each of you think of that selection for next year's color?
Sean?
The name I'm not so crazy about. I got the cloud part. I love that. The dancer part I'm not getting. But I think it's great. I actually love the idea that it's a white, but it's asking people to look at all the different kinds of white colors there are.
Mm-hmm.
There's warm whites, there's cool whites, there's yellow whites, there's pink whites. And this just is that, this is just making it clear, like, look, it's not just white. Like, there's others. And as we all know, if anyone's ever tried to paint a wall white, there's a lot of different whites, right? And I mean, how great to make someone focus on that, because if they focus on that, they're really going to notice if something's fuchsia. So
yeah.
I thought it was great.
And what about for you, Patrick?
You know, I think if Cloud Dancer, to me, when I saw that color, it felt very much like a clean slate. And if that's what next year is about, I'm all for it.
And I have to agree with you, Sean. I'm not a fan of the name either. Cloud, I love. But Dancer, I keep thinking the character Cloud dancing in Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. I don't know why.
Yes, that's where I got it. I kept saying it, too. And
good.
I was like, sounds familiar.
Good. Great minds think alike here. We're on the same page.
Right.
this is just such... It is a fantastic documentary. It's got appeal across every demographic. And unless you can't see anything beyond black and white, and even those are colors unto themselves, as everybody is going to learn, you will love it. That you will love the vibrancy of Larry and his life, and you really capture that and bring this forward. So he doesn't have to worry about his legacy. His legacy is now captured for generations of his family and for everyone. Job really well done, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Debbie.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Debbie. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.